Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked. Well, many of you are here at the Vigil Mass wearing green. I can only presume you'll do something with the parade tomorrow. And while it is certainly good to enjoy and celebrate, just remember it's St. Patrick's Day, okay? Not, hey, I'm close enough to being 100% Irish, let's just have some fun day. All right, just keep in mind. And if that wasn't enough, it's also my birthday tomorrow. So you know what the heck, you might as well celebrate a little bit. So yeah, it's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an odd segue to begin talking about death, but I got no other segue. I wasn't expecting that, all right? So here we go. You know, in our culture currently in America in 2024, death is kind of an odd thing for most of us. Pretty depressing, we think, to think about or talk about. Most experiences of death are pretty anesthetized at this point, kind of out of our view. You know, a hospice center, a nursing home, a hospital, there's special places where people die. Not even 50 years ago, it would have been common for an elderly person to die in the home of their children or grandchildren, so it was much more face-to-face, tangible experience. I mean, even when it comes to food, we go to the supermarket, right, and it's like nicely sealed, wrapped chicken breasts. They look beautiful. There's no longer feathered chickens hanging out of a window, or like an engorged pig with a like an apple in its mouth, like on a rotisserie. It's a honey baked ham. What is, I don't even know it's connected to pigs, all right? Or it's beautiful bacon, and it's amazing. It's like, well, it's in a package. You take it out, you cook it. It's I mean, the fact that it was oinking a week ago doesn't even dawn on us. We're so separated from the death process. And so because of that, a lot of other meanings of death have entered in. So notionally, or the way we would normally think or define death, is almost exclusively in a medical, biological way. We define death and we think about death in life-giving processes inside of the body stop working, and then you die. Now, whether you want to call it brain waves or heartbeat or breath, each hospice nurse and every ethical religious person on defining when death actually happens has great debates about it. But the basic gist is a pretty biological medical notion. But what's interesting is that wasn't what death was for the first century Jews that Jesus was engaging in. And actually, it's not really how we experience death. It's how we define it and maybe try to explain it. But make no mistake, death is our number one enemy. Death takes loved ones from you. Some of the greatest grief people have ever had to live with is because a child died and they've been suffering for decades. As a priest, I do a lot of different funerals and anointings before death, and I have buried people in their hundreds. I've buried people who are weeks old. I have buried due to overdose and suicide. I've buried due to military. I've buried due to long battles with illnesses. And make no mistake, death is an enemy. It robs us of the beautiful thing called life, relationships, and love. We don't like engaging it because it's scary and it's more powerful than us, and no amount of money, no amount of batting of our eyelashes, no amount of Hail Marys is going to save us from this thing called death. And if we don't enter into the bad news, we never can experience Jesus as good news. Because most of us who are religious tend to do what's called spiritual bypassing of these human realities. Death is an enemy. It's terrible. It's awful. It awakens in the heart anger and sadness, depression, despair. It has a powerful effect because the human heart knows what we're meant for. And that's why we don't like death. And then as spiritual people go, but you know what? He rose and everything's going to be fine. But that never seems to fit because we're bypassing. We're stepping around. We don't glorify Jesus by ignoring our humanity. After all, he took on our humanity. We glorify Jesus by opening our ache and our pain, by allowing him to engage the very things that are so hard and scary. It's by encountering him in those places that we become a disciple. We are not Hallmark people with nice cards and really well wishes. That's not Christianity. I don't know what that is, but it's not what Jesus came into this world to offer us. So death is our enemy. And Jesus came in to this world to battle it on our behalf. See, in the book of the Song of Songs, you have the story of two beautiful people in love. It's a husband and wife madly in love with each other. Song of Songs, the only book in the Bible that never mentions God once, and it's an inspired book of the Bible. What you hear is the story of longing and desire, attraction and delight. It's all the beauty of human love. And they're experiencing the gift of human love. And what wells up in their hearts is this wish, this cry, this desire that is absolutely insane unless you've ever been in love. And it says, we want a love stronger than death. Meaning, we want to be with our loved ones. We want a kind of life where there's beauty and love that never ends. And guess what? Every funeral home I've ever been to, I've met a widow or a widower, heartbroken. But there was this longing. I want this love to last forever. One of my most powerful memories growing up is my mom's side of the family were not Italian, but they married in. So it's the Ifeolas, but it's spelled with a bunch of consonants that got thrown together at some point. All right? It's like Iafigliola or something like that. But great side of the family, the Italian. Now I remember the grandpa, the patriarch of the Ifeola side, was burying his wife after 60 years. And I was young, maybe 8 years old. And at the cemetery, the priest said the prayers and the casket is there. And he broke free from his kids, this 88-year-old man, I believe, and threw himself on top of the casket, beating it, saying, take me with you. I don't want to live without you. I want a love stronger than death. Anyone who's willing to admit it knows it. Pope Benedict said this, God responded to the human heart's desire for love stronger than death in the resurrection of Jesus. That in Jesus, there's a life stronger than death. Someone has power over death now, and now death gets reinterpreted. It loses its power because of Jesus and only because of Jesus, we believe it's not the end. We have a definitive answer of someone who came back from the dead and said, death has no power over me. Jesus has power over death. And he entered into all the things of human death and rose victorious to show us, you too will have to go into the ground. You are going to become dust. But the Father will raise you up as he's raising me up. And so in the gospel today, we see all the responses to the death of Lazarus. We see the humanity of Jesus in tears, crying for his friend because he feels what it's like to not have a Lazarus in this world. If you love someone, the idea of that person not being in this world is heartbreaking. And you want them back. And that's not naive, selfish, or unholy. That desire is the only place in you that will experience Jesus' good news. And so when we try to sidestep it and have all these pious platitudes, you know what we do? We rob ourselves of our humanity and we deny Jesus of being a gift because we don't want to feel the longing. But if we don't feel the longing, we can't experience the gift. If you're not hungry, food isn't good news. And so Jesus waits for everyone to feel the loss of Lazarus, to really feel the powerlessness and ache in the face of death. And he steps into it with all the power of his divinity, because he's not just human. He's our God incarnate. with all the power of divinity, and he says, he's asleep. And they go, well, if he's asleep, he'll just wake up. And he's like, no, you don't get it. Lazarus died, but because of the power I have as God, I see death as sleep. And I alone have the power to awaken them from this place. And so at every funeral mass as a Christian, right here, I've done, gosh, how many now at St. Basil's? Probably close to 100. There's a casket, and that's the image of death. But then there's a candle. It's the Christ candle, the one that we light at Easter time. And there's a little light flickering. And that little light flickering is the invitation of hope. That we live in this world not fulfilled. That's the kingdom and in heaven. We live in this world with hope. And the hope is not a vague wish. Like, wouldn't it be nice if we won the lotto? That's wishing. Hoping is the response to the revelation of God. That if Jesus rises from the dead, and you and I can participate in his life, death, and resurrection through sacraments, prayer, and growing in holiness, then we can have the hope that death does not get the last word over us, but his glory does. Lazarus, when he rose from the dead in the gospel passage, he was resuscitated. He had to die again at some point. Jesus wasn't resuscitated, he resurrected to never die again. And that is the kind of life he shares with us in the Eucharist. And that is a reason to rejoice, because finally God has shown us there is a life, there is a love stronger than death. His name is Jesus, and he calls each of us by name.